You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Have you heard of the Boise Seven? Maybe Dr. Hart? Well, in honor of Pride Month, we wanted to take a minute to look back on some of the lesser known pieces of LGBTQ history here in Idaho. The Idaho State Historic Preservation Office recently compiled some of these victories of representation here in Idaho. Historian Alan Verda did the research on these stories, and he joins Idaho Matters today, along with Dan Everhart, a historian at the Idaho State Historic Preservation Office. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Gemma.
Hey, Dan, I want to get right into it. We're going to talk about two stories in 1 minute, one about the Boise Seven, the other about Dr. Hart that I mentioned. But what inspired the Idaho State Historic Preservation Office to highlight these two stories in particular?
You know, Idaho's history is a very diverse and colorful history, and we want to make sure that the widest possible story is told. Idaho is not uniform in its history, and it isn't monotone in that history either. And we wanted to make sure that the broad range of Idaho history was told and continues to be told by the work that we do here at the State Historic Preservation Office. So just a small sampling of that can be seen on our social media outlets. And we wanted to make sure that these LGBTQ stories were told.
And Alan, you actually did some of the research on these two stories, so I am really curious to hear about them. Can you start with kind of just a brief rundown of the Boise Seven?
Sure. The Boise Seven were seven female employees of the Boise Police Department. There were two police women, four dispatchers, and one animal control officer. In March of 1977, they were fired because the police chief said that their private lives were interfering with their police duties and that a great percentage of the police department did not want to work with those people. The suspicion was that they were lesbians. And so without any sort of internal police department hearing or anything like that, they were summarily fired. And that created quite a stir among Boise's newly out gay community. They responded with petition drives and some rallies. And these really were the first instance of Idaho's gay community coming together for very public, protest or demonstration. The women filed grievances. They even sued in court, but they did not win their jobs back. But 2 years later in 1979, a federal judge gave them a good deal of back pay and really chastised the police department for firing this woman. But it's notable that they did not get the back pay and based on discrimination, because at that point it was perfectly legal to fire someone if you suspected or knew they were gay. They got some settlement because the police department had wiretapped their office phones and disregarded a lot of the civil service requirements for firing people. So that was the Boise Seven.
And then tell us about Dr. Hart.
Dr. Hart was one of the leaders in Idaho's anti-tuberculosis effort in the late 30s and early 40s. He was born a girl, Lucille Alberta Hart, in Kansas in 1890, moved with his family to Albany, Georgia, attended Albany College. This is as a female. And then while in medical school in Portland, this would have been in the late teens, she underwent some sort of surgery and a lot of counseling and began a medical practice as a man. 1925 in New York, Dr. Hart married a woman, and from then on lived his life as a man and was recognized as a man, called himself a man. In terms of his Idaho connection, in 1928, he was first hired as a consultant. He was living in Seattle at that time, he and his wife. They He came to Idaho occasionally to consult on anti-tubercular efforts, but then finally in 37, he was actually hired by the Idaho Anti-Tuberculosis Association and came here to work full time. He conducted clinics around the state. He directed their publicity campaign. Tuberculosis at that time was what polio was to the 50s, what AIDS was to the 80s, and really what COVID is to today. I mean, it was a dreaded disease. People were afraid of it. And so the state had somewhat limited public health infrastructure at that time. So it was up to this private organization, the Idaho Anti-Tuberculosis Association, to really take the ball and run with it and conduct a lot of the preventative measures that were going on in the state. You know, he stayed here till the early 40s, and then he moved on to Connecticut, where he worked with the Connecticut State Health Department for quite a few years. He died in 1962.
So Dan, I'm curious though that, I mean, today is the last day of Pride Month for the year 2020. Why is it important to celebrate these stories, to tell these stories? I mean, I've lived in Idaho for more than 20 years and did not know either of these stories until today.
Well, it's important to tell these stories about Idaho's history, not just because they're stories of LGBTQ people, but because we tell diverse stories to better understand underrepresented communities and underrepresented history. Too often, it's easy to pigeonhole history or historians or historic preservation as being only interested in the stories of old, rich, white men. And that is not a fair representation of Idaho's history, nor is it a fair representation of what the historic preservation community now feels is important. In 2016, the National Park Service released a report titled LGBTQ America, which was a theme study of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer history. And it's really setting the tone for telling these stories and writing about this sort of history and ultimately designating historic sites that have a role in this history. So this is not just an Idaho effort, of course. It's reflective of a larger movement nationwide to tell a more diverse story.
Yeah. And Alan, before you retired, you worked in the Boise State Library. You were a head of special collections, but you also worked in the Library of Congress back in D.C. And you've actually done quite a bit of research related to gay history here in Idaho. What sparked your interest in this particular field?
Well, it's sort of exactly as Dan explained. You know, there is a lack of documentation, lack of historical presentation on a lot of underrepresented communities as if they didn't exist. And, you know, it just seemed natural. I first went to a conference in 1998 in Tacoma, Washington, called Do Ask, Do Tell, which was a history of, it addressed history of gays in the Pacific Northwest. And there were a lot of presentations on gay history in Oregon, particular people who might have lived in Vancouver, Washington, and I got the idea, why not Idaho? So I began researching that, and I ended up doing a presentation that I've done many times, slideshow on Idaho gay history. I also worked with Seth Randall on his film, The Fall of 55, which is right, about the Boys of Boise homosexual scandal of 1955. So, and at Boise State Library, we collect papers of many organizations. We have Senator Frank Church, Governor Cecil Andrus, plus we have many organizations of various types, the Rotary Club, their long history. So we began also collecting gay organizations, Your Family, Friends, and Neighbors, No on One campaign like that. So we think it's important to document all sorts of, you know, avenues of history, and gay history certainly is one of them.
I want to thank both of you for talking today about this. And also, truly, thank you for bringing these stories, these historical pieces to light. Without the work that you do, I don't know if we would know about all of it. So thank you for everything that you do. We've been talking with historian Alan Verda and Dan Everhart about the lesser known LGBTQ history in Idaho. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you, Gemma.
Up next, you having some funny dreams because of COVID? We're going to talk about that next. Stick around.